Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now Tuesday and it is the 14th of January 2025 and it's so mild outside here in Dublin, it feels like we could be looking at daffodils by the end of the week. Leave the coat at home, we say. Get in touch in the usual way on the WhatsApp North and South. That's 087-032-3232. You can text 51551 and indeed you can email oliver at rte.ie. And you might want to join our conversation today because in the family law industry, they say January is considered divorce month. Divorce month? Yes, the time of year when people they start to realise, well, the marriage is over and now is the moment to start the legal process of ending it. And sometimes the financial implications of doing that, dividing what you have in two, means people leave the solicitor's office thinking, well, divorce is not going to be an option for us, or the legal costs are just simply too high. So we're going to discuss all that today. And there's sadness, of course, in many divorces because people often feel they have failed in one of life's big decisions. And of course, where there are children, it's unpleasant for everyone. And then, of course, there are divorces where there is a huge relief afterwards, the best decision for one person or for both people in the couple, but it is one of those sad things that does occur, and the housing situation is very much part of that conversation. We'll dig into it today because January is one of the big months, alongside September, I believe, is when people kind of traditionally look at those big changes starting the periods of the year that feel like a fresh start, so it will. And speaking of the housing crisis, not here, but in Spain, there's an eye-catching proposal from the Prime Minister over there. Which seems very much aimed at the many British owners of holiday homes in the sunny climes of España. Pedro Sanchez is the name of the Socialist Prime Minister over there, and he's announced plans to impose a tax on real estate bought by non-residents from countries outside the EU, which of course includes Britain. The tax will be 100%, so your annual property tax will be the full value of the home. Obviously it's aimed at getting to sell up and get the hell out of there. It's not using it as a holiday home anymore. So he has sought to underline the global nature of this challenge, citing house prices that have swelled 48% in the past 10 years across Europe, which of course is way beyond the increase in household incomes. Mind you, if he came to Ireland, he'd be pretty astonished. I was looking up the CSO figures this morning. The 10 years to 2023 in Ireland, house prices increased by 137%. And it's slightly higher in Dublin and around the rest of the country as well. So, and in fact, we know now because house building is the number of houses being built every year now in Ireland is far more than it has been for the previous 10 or 15 years or so. And yet house prices continue to rise. So you build more houses, it doesn't obviously result in lower prices for the moment. But the Spanish government's plans to crack down on foreign non-EU buyers has grabbed headlines around the world. It is a very popular destination for holiday home buyers, particularly among Americans, the Brits and people in Morocco as well, going to Ibiza, Marbella and Barcelona and other places in Spain. So it's an unprecedented tax in Spanish history. But they said that, this is Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister, saying 27,000 houses and flats in Spain in 2023 alone were bought by non-EU residents. And they don't do it to live there. He says they don't do it for the families to have a place to live. They did it to speculate, to make money from, which we, in the context of a shortage of houses in Spain, obviously cannot allow for all the people who work there and so on. They're also hoping to take aim at the tourist flats, which have been blamed for shrinking the rental supply. This is an issue all over the world as well. This is the Airbnb and other sites as well that do the same thing. The short-term lets for tourism that leaves the locals priced out of the market. No country seems to be able to tackle tech companies involved in either housing or in social media, it seems. There's just a lack of an appetite to do. A warning on all of these proposals, this 100% property tax on non-EU residents, is that the Spanish government have been struggling to pass legislation because it's a minority government. And then there are other people saying, well, this might be an easy one because it'd be very, very popular. Speaking of other laws that may or may not be happening, you know by now that the Americans have been planning to ban TikTok in the US and forcing the Chinese company ByteDance to sell it to an American company. And there's a big ruling on the 19th of January, which is only 5 days away from now, on what the Supreme Court is going to do. And they've kind of indicated in a provisional finding that they are thinking of agreeing with Joe Biden's law. He claims, the Biden administration, that is, that TikTok is being used by China as a tool for spying and political manipulation. It's kind of a social media experiment gone haywire, basically. The company repeatedly denies it has any influence by the Chinese Communist Party and said the law to ban it in the US violates First Amendment free speech rights of its users. And today, there are reports from Bloomberg that Chinese officials are weighing an option that could see its business in America being sold to Elon Musk, and that it would be run alongside his former Twitter company, X.com. And TikTok has called this report pure fiction. It's denied ByteDance that China is considering allowing the sale to Elon Musk as part of a sort of a deal. And it's all very interesting because Trump has urged the Supreme Court to delay its decision. Of course, Elon Musk is his right-hand hand at the moment. And the New York Times has a whole timeline on Donald Trump's various to-ing and fro-ing on TikTok. 4 years ago, as president, he denounced TikTok, said it was a threat to national security. And meanwhile, as he prepares to take the White House for a second term, it's now a unique medium for freedom of expression. And he's to-ed and fro-ed. So if you go back to August 2020, he issued an executive order directing ByteDance to divest its US interests or face broad sanctions. So exactly what Joe Biden, his law, which was passed by Congress, set out to do, and that law is upheld, is being delayed until the Supreme Court makes its ruling. So he said basically that TikTok's data collection, all these social media companies, they're about data, tracking what you're doing, what you're saying, who you're in contact with. And if you install the app on your phone, it can generally collect information from all the other apps on your phone as well, because you've agreed to terms and conditions and so on. And they use this data, which is worth more than oil, it should be said, data on people, because they want to know everything you're doing. He said it's building dossiers of personal information for blackmail and conduct corporate espionage. That's Donald Trump in 2020. But now he's saying that he enjoys it, and it's actually that he said that the young people in America would go crazy if TikTok was banned over there. And he's used TikTok with a lot of success in his successful election campaign just gone. A key vehicle for reaching young people. And his youngest son, Baron, has also encouraged him to lean into the platform to win over young voters. And he's boasted that he's a big star on TikTok and so on. And now he is kind of opposing, or he's on the fence of the ban. And we wait to see what he's going to do over there. We wait to see what he's going to do with a lot of things. Speaking of stories, our serious story of the week has been Cherry Tomato Bridge, for sure. This is the one I mentioned yesterday, which has become an unlikely tour spot because TikTokers have been going to the place where somebody left cherry tomatoes during the deep freeze and they were left there for a week, and then people kept bringing cherry tomatoes there, and someone renamed it on Google Maps Cherry Tomato Bridge. It's Binns Bridge in Dublin Meeting, Drumcondra and Dorset Street in on the north side. So if you're planning a visit to Dublin's Cherry Tomato Bridge, your hopes will be squashed because somebody has removed all of the cherry tomatoes, pushed it off the bridge and into the tracks below. So now it's kind of tomatoes are no longer there. So perhaps we'll have to update the Google map to Cherry Tomato Memorial Bridge in honour of the cold snap of 2025, the cherry tomatoes moment. You need these bits and pieces every now and again. Anyone down in Limerick this morning, if you want your child to become a movie star, now's your opportunity. Start them young, why don't you? Because there are calls to cast a newly born, up to 3 months old baby to star in a new movie alongside Liam Neeson that's being made in Limerick. It's called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, and it stars the Oscar nominee, Liam Neeson. The casting call has gone out with Celtic Casting. So for high-end feature film, Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, we need a baby aged 0 to 3 months. I mean, newborn baby, I think they mean. The shooting date is going to be tomorrow. So it's paid work. So parents, please email photo, name and details to info@celticcasting.ie. Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, it's based on a graphic novel or a comic book where basically the 12-year-old daughter of a mob boss realises that her now a retired dad is being pushed in by a mafia to rob a bank. So she says, I'll save dad by recruiting my three friends to go in and rob the bank for him in advance. And action comedy ensues. So there you go. Info at CelticCasting.ie. If you're down in Limerick and you've a baby up to 3 months old, star alongside Liam Neeson. It'll be a bit of crack. We've had a baby on a TV set before. No work gets done because everyone's cooing and wants to see how cute the baby is. It's just, that's just what happens. That's what babies will do. Very disruptive forces, babies. You know, you're as well have Lindsay Lohan on set, to be honest. 51551 is the text. Someone says, we have daffodils already since the 1st of January in Crockwell in County Cork. Even in the west of Ireland, daffodils there. Yeah, it's kind of, it's all over. And there's a clump already in bloom in, don't say where this is, but thank you, Hazel, for letting us know. Maybe there's a certain species of daffodils. I haven't even seen snowdrops, which are lovely in January yet, but they probably come out now in November, do they? And everything. So we might as well get somewhere and overdone with around Bridget's Day. And we just call because it kind of feels the same in July, to be honest. Okay, let's get the morning up and running. I think we'll play some, yes, I'm in the mood for some indie stuff this morning. Kind of indie stuff. This is The Strokes. It's a kind of a later Strokes, around 2015 or so. The adults are talking. 51551 of the texts. Good morning all. It's Tuesday.